Hey everybody, welcome to Marvel Champions Monthly. We are a fan podcast about the card game Marvel Champions, designed by Michael Boggs and Caleb Grace at Fantasy Flight Games. I'm one of your hosts, Kennedy Hawk. Got a slew of hosts with me today. We have Crimson.
Hey, what's up, man?
We've got Lester. Lester has been wisped away in time currently, so maybe we'll hear from Lester later. And Americano couldn't make it this week. And I know I think green cards are gross, but not everybody does. So we had to have somebody bring the green side for us. So we have Tommy. How's it going, Tommy?
It's going great. Thank you for having me.
Where are you from? Can you tell us about yourself? How did you end up in this game of Marvel Champions? And where can people hear from you when you're not guesting on our podcast?
I do a show with the real host of our show, Banana Crapshoot, and I just kind of tag along. He does all the hard work, pushes the button at the beginning, set up the recording, and then we fire from the hip. We write articles. We try to get a couple out a week. We've been slacking a little bit lately because life's tough. But you can hear us over there or read our articles. That's the Side Scheme Podcast. And other than that, I am from Philadelphia, or just outside Philadelphia. And I've been playing games since I was 8 years old. Star Wars CCG from the Cypher. Bounced from card game to card game to miniature game to card game. All around the board. But Marvel has always been one of my favorite IPs, and Fantasy Flight has been developing some really great games, even though they haven't all been able to sustain them for you know, indefinitely, especially competitive games. But I've always been suckered back in by these IPs that they have, Star Wars and Marvel license.
So you played back then. I'm an old school gamer from back then too. So do you remember Overpower?
Oh, I remember Overpower, yes. Now, most of my Overpower experience was very much as a child and more like looking at the cards and probably playing with my own twists and rules, of which I can't even remember at this point.
Nice. Yeah, I just literally bought a couple boxes of Overpower and the Highlander card game off of eBay, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can't wait till they get here.
Nice. Team Covenant's been talking a lot about those, like the vintage card games that you can get into. I actually purchased some Star Trek CCG from way back when, a while back, just to mess around.
Nice. If you ever get a chance, try to pick up some second edition. Second edition, they refined the rules to where it felt a lot better to play.
Check that out.
I actually won a regionals for Star Trek.
Oh, what?
Oh, dude, there's a reason why there's card games plastered all over my avatar.
My favorite way to play card games is drafting. And speaking of the Side Scheme, you guys run like a league draft through your podcast. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. So we came up with a format that we kind of did it right before this pandemic hit. So it was meant to be to kind of have like an OP, like an unofficial OP for your store or your local group, so that you could get together and kind of run an event where you would have a draft. Each player would draft heroes and or aspects, and you would come up with like a schedule prior to the draft. And then originally we were going to set like a partner schedule where, you know, player X would play with player Y the first week, or they'd play with Z the second week, and then the third week they'd have to play with, it would be X, Y, and Z versus the third scenario. But once the pandemic hit, we adapted it and tried to make it a solo format so that we could just play, you know, no matter where we were in the world, and which also kind of opened the whole thing up, Skype or whatever you want. But we decided to just make it a solo draft for a while. Kennedy Hawk has been contending and just about in the finals almost every single season. I think we're on the third season now?
Yeah, I messed up season two. I was bad. Bad.
I think you were still right there, though. I think you were 2-1, I think.
2-1, right. Yeah. One game away.
Yeah. But we it's been fun. The draft is great. We keep it at 3 games so that everybody has, you know, an easy time getting the games in. But recently we just started getting back to multiplayer, whether you can play in person with your teammate if you just want to enter a team into the draft, or if you want to you know, team up with another person from the Discord, that's fine, and play on TTS, Octagon, Skype, whatever. So it's been great. We're gonna try to mix it up again for season 4 coming up.
Well, in the news, we've got an announcement happened yesterday. So FFG did a live stream where they announced the Kang scenario pack. So we'll talk about that at the end of today's episode. And since our last episode, Doctor Strange released. So that's going to be the main topic for today. We're going to present four decks with Doctor Strange, one for each aspect. Other news for us, we finally launched our Patreon. So thanks to all our patrons. We're going to do shout outs to random patrons every couple episodes. So for this episode, shout out to Banana Crapshoot, also from the Side Scheme podcast.
How that worked out.
Yeah. How did that work out magically? It's almost like I'm just doing them in order. Thanks to Loch Ness 2112 as well. So you guys really make this show worthwhile and you make it fun to make all this content and support this awesome game. We know Doctor Strange just released. We usually do card reviews right after a pack releases. We've decided we're going to move all our card reviews to our YouTube channel. There'll be video card reviews now. So we'll pop up a picture of the card right there so you can see the card as we're talking about it. You don't have to worry about flipping through your binder or going to a website to find the card. All right there in the video. So at the same time this episode releases, we'll release our Doctor Strange Hero Pack card review. So rather than talking about just Doctor Strange's cards, card by card in this episode, we are going to go through four decks that work well with Doctor Strange in a Tony Stark's deck garage.
All of your projects have just been approved and funded.
All right, so we're going to go through four different decks with Doctor Strange, one for each aspect. I've always heard this joke made. I think Remedy uses it a lot. When you're talking about Doctor Strange and which aspect you're pairing him with, you're talking about which Hogwarts house he fits with. I can't pretend that I know anything about Harry Potter, but my wife knows a lot of things about Harry Potter, and I asked her which house each of these aspects would be. And I did some research, and I'm fairly certain she just based it off the color, because I said, oh, what aspect should leadership be? And she said, what color is it? And I said, blue. So she said Ravenclaw, which, I mean, I guess makes sense, because smart people play leadership, because it's the best. And then I asked her about justice, and she said, you know, it's Hufflepuff, because those people, they just, like, fiddle fart around, you know, they're removing threat from the scheme, but they're not actually winning games, just lame justice stuff. Aggression, obviously made sense as Gryffindor. And protection, Slytherin, obviously, green cards are gross. So,
yeah, I would actually say that justice is more Ravenclaw. It requires more. You're doing the thwarting, so you're doing the scheming.
You're doing the thinking, huh?
You're doing the thinking. Yeah. I'd say leadership would be Slytherin. 100%.
So what we're going to do is we each made a deck with our aspect, and Tommy's going to be Americano's aspect for today. So we're going to read through those decks really quick, talk about, you know, what the goal of the deck was. They might not be the best deck with that aspect. They might be the best deck with that aspect, but they all have like a purpose or a goal. So we'll go through them, talk through the deck a little bit, bounce ideas off each other for those decks, and then we'll post them all in the show notes. So if you guys want a Doctor Strange deck in the week it came out, you'll have four ready to go. Who wants to present their deck first? Don't all jump out at once. Many volunteers were had.
Yeah.
I'll go first.
Set the pace. Show me the way.
Yeah, I'll teach you the ways of making bad decks. There's a really good leadership Doctor Strange deck on Marvel CDB by the Hall of Heroes guys. So if you want a good leadership deck, go look at that one. It uses a bunch of allies, and then it uses the invocation that puts tough on three characters. So it just tries to keep three allies out with tough constantly. You just block with those allies and let Strange do his magic with his magic invocation deck. What I did instead is I built a confusion leadership deck, because Doctor Strange has a really cool card, Magic Blast, where it's kind of like Hulk. When you play the card, you discard the top card of your deck. Based on the resource type, something's going to happen. And if it's a mental resource, it's going to confuse the character you are attacking. So it's a great way to confuse the villain. Now, Strange himself has a pretty good split of resource types, but with your aspect, you can enhance that and get as many as you possibly can. So I've got all the Strange cards in there. But then for additional upgrades, I have three copies of Rapid Response. That's the only thing outside of Strange's kit. I've got six allies, and they are a weird hodgepodge. So I have Heimdall, because he's a mental. Squirrel Girl, because she's a mental. Nick Fury and Maria Hill, because they're also both mental. And then Iron Man and Wong are both wild. So if you get wild when you draw Magic Blast, you do all of the things, which is like stun, two more damage, and confuse. It's like the best of all the worlds. So no Mockingbird, which is in almost every deck, and is really good with Strange, but not in this deck because she's physical. And no, none of the like Avengers assembled shenanigans to ready Strange multiple times. He's good enough. I don't want to do that. I just want to make sure as many times as I can when I play Magic Blast, it confuses that villain. So for supports, I put in Avengers Mansion, Quinn Carrier, and I put in one non-mental here. This is the first non-mental card I've included, the Triskelion. You've also got Sanctorum from Strange himself. For events, that's where I really put a lot of things in. So we have three copies of Make the Call, all mental resource. Three copies of First Aid, all mental resource. I did put in two copies of Strength in Numbers because you're hopefully going to have a couple of these allies out and they'll help you draw to your Magic Blast more frequently. Then I put in the three basic resources, so Energy, Genius, and Strength, and two copies of Power of Leadership. So in the end, you have, I think it ends up being 18 cards that can produce mental energy, that produce mental energy as a printed resource. Four cards that produce a wild, so that's 22 cards that when you discard for Magic Blast will give you a confuse. Magic Blast itself is an energy, so you're at like 22 out of 39 cards or something like that. And a lot of the cards that you put into play are cards that are other resource types, like Eye of Agmoto. You could put your magical enhancements out into play and your Cloak of Levitation. So you can get things out in play and then play Magic Blast so you know you're not flipping, hopefully not flipping something that's not a mental resource. It's a little bit crazy. It really struggles against decks. I think it's Claw has one upgrade that requires two physical, and he's got another upgrade if you run under attack that requires two energy. You're like super honed in on this mental resource thing. But it becomes super fun because you confuse constantly. You have a ton of time to flip to Doctor Strange and, you know, cycle through your invocations to get the right one out there. One thing that I didn't include is Helicarrier. I thought that I was going to include that because it lets you thin your deck. But Helicarrier doesn't work with Doctor Strange's invocation deck. So you have to, it works like with the next card you play from your hand. So you have to be careful with that one. Made sure not to include it, at least in this Leadership Confusion deck. So Leadership Confusion without Spider-Woman, that's what I would call it. What do you think?
Seems interesting.
Looks good. I mean, yeah, the tough status on the ally. So I think just about every deck you have, you want to include a lot of ally. Good card.
Yeah, especially with Leadership. I think that it's been pretty fun in the couple games I played with it. Just general tips with running Doctor Strange. I know a lot of people like to poo-poo on that. The invocation that lets you change a status. But I would argue by having all this confusion in this deck, I'm always able to cycle and get that thing on top right when I want it. Right when I'm going to flip Rhino to stage three, and I know I'm going to get stunned, then I make sure that invocation is on top so I can turn that stunned into a confuse. And when Claw is about to go to phase three and get toughness, I can do the same thing. So I think it's a powerful invocation. You just need to be able to like cycle constantly. So you have to be able to go to alter ego form more frequently to make sure it comes up at the right time.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think that card's a little undervalued. I think it has the least value of the invocation saying that. But if you can turn a stun or a confuse hero into a tough, that's a big because you're saving yourself an attack or a thwart, pretty monster.
Pretty boss. All right. Let's hear Crimson's Justice deck. I want to hear how Doctor Strange works with Justice.
So I'm gonna be honest, I don't think Justice is his strongest aspect. I think his 15 card kit covers the thwarting you need to cover. I would say that he would definitely feels better going protection or even aggression and maybe leadership. But he's not bad at Justice. So what I did with my deck is it's not a single player deck. It is meant to be played with another character. And I went all in on the thwart. So I'm running a lot of resource generation. So I'm running the two Power of Justice. I'm considering the Sorcerer Supreme as a resource generating card because it does give you plus one hand size, which in turn gives you an extra resource that you can have access to. Same thing with the Avengers Mansion. I'm running one Avengers Mansion, one Quinn Carrier. Obviously, if you're other partners running Quinn Carrier, you may wish to switch that to an Avengers mansion. That is your choice. I generally don't care. If they get their Quinn Carrier out before me, then it's a resource. And I've never had a problem playing it that way, as long as you understand that's how it's going to happen sometimes. And I am using a Helicarrier. I know it doesn't really work with his invocation, but this is a partnership deck, so I want to be able to have the Helicarrier available to give to my partner when playing. And then, of course, the three the strength, energy, genius. And then, so that's the kind of energy, the resource package that I'm running. And for the ally package that I'm running, is I feel like he kind of wants allies. So I am running Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Quake with the Nick Fury and the Mockingbird. Mockingbird to put a stun on him, Nick Fury to either draw cards or do some extra damage. I think this package works really good. Quake, I generally will not use her ability because when I'm playing, I'm generally staying in Doctor Strange mode. But, you know, she's a two-cost ally that has two attack. I think that's strong by itself. And then for the thwarting package, 3-4 justice, 3 counterintelligences, and I'm running 3 stealth strikes. I'm not a big fan of stealth strikes. I think they cost too much. But in this deck, being able to kill a minion, remove some thwart, and then do your big 7 damage and stun to the villain is very important. And we're seeing a lot more guard characters in the more recent villains. So I think stealth strike is going to find a place in here. And then I'm running 1 heroic intervention just to bring Doctor Strange up to 3 thwart. Or maybe give it to your partner. And then 1 under surveillance. I like running 1 under surveillance. I do not like running more than 1. I do feel that it is just a nice little, here, let's slow this down. Let's get an extra turn, maybe an extra 2 turns out of a scheme. Or a side mission or something like that. Or the main mission. Again, it's... This is not meant to be played solo. This is really meant to be played with a Captain America aggression deck or, you know, somebody who can put the damage down like a Captain Marvel. In fact, this plays really good with Captain Marvel.
I think it's funny that your Justice deck has just as many allies as I had in my Leadership deck.
Yeah, well, I just feel like he wants allies. He wants the ability to soak damage. If he can't get stuns going or getting toughs. And with that card that gives 3 things tough, you kind of want allies in play with him.
Well, let's go on to the Slytherin green cards next, because green cards are gross. Tommy agrees. So he's going to tell us about the worst Doctor Strange deck, Protection.
Yes, the worst Doctor Strange deck, but only because
it's not like he's packaged with it or something.
Yeah. So my deck, the general thought for my deck is again, like Crimson's, to play with other players. You really need some help to get there. I did play a few solo games with it because I didn't have anybody to play with. Couldn't convince my wife. But I'm going to start trading, Harry Potter knowledge for games of this, hopefully. So again, you know, just like Kennedy said, running through the upgrades, I'm running 1 Endurance, 3 Energy Barrier because it is insane value. I'm actually running 1 Espionage in the deck. I'll get to that later. I'm running 2 Honorary Avenger, pretty much mostly to just help me keep Wong on the table. You got the Magic Enhancements, the Eye of Agamotto, the Sorcerer Supreme, which we talked about. And then I'm actually running more allies than either of the previous decks with 7. I'm a big proponent of allies with Doctor Strange, and I actually think that Protection has some really good ones. I'm running Black Widow, who's given me an additional spy. Obviously, you're not running her if somebody's using that hero. So you got to change things up. You probably drop Espionage if somebody else is running Black Widow. The Brother Voodoo, real nice because you're going to get to dig for that Magic Blast a little bit. Tutor it, that or Protective Ward or something useful to get to your hand. Clea, 1 Iron Fist, Mockingbird, Nick Fury, and Wong are allies. Supports are Helicarrier, again, mostly because I'm playing with other people, hopefully. And I don't think that you have to worry too much about the resources not being able to play your invocation because you're probably going to spend it on something else, even if it's like Master of the Mystic Arts or something. You'll find a way to spend it if you're the only one. Then I got Sanctum Curum, one Night Nurse. Night Nurse isn't my favorite card for solo, but again, with multiple heroes on the table, it's definitely helpful. You got the two Astral Protection. I'm running two Get Behind Me as a to just have four cancels in the deck. You have such a surplus of stun and tough and just allies to block in this deck that quite often the villain attacking you is far less bad than some of the encounters that might pop up for you. Two Magic Blast, two Master of the Mystic Arts, two Momentum Shift just to give you a little bit of extra damage output, heal. And then the Mystic Studies and the Protective Wards. And that's the deck. I did play two games with it. The first was Expert Claw with Masters of Evil. And that one was over in like five turns. Doctor Strange is insane. And then I was like, you know what? I'm already here. I'm just going to play it again as Heroic One. That game took an hour and a half, but I got there. And I was very tedious about making sure my game state was good. That's part of the reason it took so long, but I was very invested at that point to just kind of see if I could do it. And it took forever for me to cut through the minions because he's not particularly good at that, especially in protection, but he did get there. Once I was set up, it really wasn't like he can manage threats so good. He can manage attacks so good. I really wasn't in a ton of danger. I just had a hard time pushing.
So you had a ton of physical and energy resources. So with Magic Blast, were you stunning a lot?
I was stunning a lot. And that wasn't something that I really intended to build around. I really liked the idea of building around the leadership because the Confuse is way more valuable. Stun especially. And the two damage always feels good because like paying 3 for 7 seems like a good... But the stun, sometimes you just have so much stun that it's not really worth
it. That's what those invocations are for.
That's right.
Any memorable moments in your games against Claw?
Yeah, actually. So I went through the deck. I said I had three acceleration tokens. So I went through the deck three full times, and then it just had shuffled right before I defeated him. But I actually canceled Shadows of the Past twice and still hit it a third time. I hit it all three times that I went completely through the deck. I hit Shadows of the Past, and it did come out the last time. Grabbed my... Crimson Bands of Sidorak, which was fortunate, but he thwart so good and it managed to reveal the images of Icon. So I just thwarted that away, got them back, went back to business. And I killed Baron Mordo pretty much one shot with a blast. Just kept going. It was the three Shadows of the Past. Laughing because it was like, man, I was destined to hit this eventually and not be able to cancel.
Yeah. My other question for you, I always ask this when I see Brother Voodoo, what event are you trying to pull out with Brother Voodoo?
It's not necessarily the dig for the event. It's more just the fact that it's like a rebate on his three costs. So I kind of view him like a two cost ally. I have enough events where I feel like I have a very high likelihood of hitting at least one. So if I get one back, it's a two cost ally that's going to, I usually envision him being a thwart tool. So I'm thwarting for two and then getting a block for basically a two cost. So it feels like a pretty valuable trade regard. And if you don't block with him, you could just get four thwart for two, a very good value as well.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite characters to make the call with.
Oh, that's a good one.
All right, and I think we are ready to move on to our fourth Hogwarts House aggression. Lester, you're on the line. Well, let's hear your aggressive deck.
The deck I had prepared, I actually made a Thor aggression deck, but I do have a Doctor Strange aggression deck. I just have to load it up here on DB. I am hyper excited here because Dr. Stephen Strange is the greatest hero ever to be invented. In all of comicdom, he is the Sorcerer Supreme. So I put together a deck here, and I kind of wanted to make a little bit of an alteration to it, but this is something we can talk about later down the road, because I saw this really neat post on the Champions, the community page on Facebook, and I can't remember what the guy's name is, So I'm going to start here with the upgrades in the deck. Obviously, you have his Cloak of Levitation, which is baller. I threw a combat training in. The main reason I did that is because he does have low starting attack value. But it also, you know, if you're playing with a friend, you can make them tougher too. I added Enhanced Physique because I'm attempting to produce physical resources with this deck. There's two copies of that, and then one copy of Enraged, the obligatory copy of Yarnbjorn. If you're playing Aggression, you'd be a fool not to play that card, in my opinion. I've got 2x Magical Enhancement, that's mandatory, and one Eye of Agamotto. There are 6 allies in this deck. I have Hercules, Hulk, Mockingbird, Tigra, Valkyrie, and the oh-so-wonderful Wong. For supports, I have Avengers Mansion, 1 copy, 2 copies of Helicarrier. Recently, I've really enjoyed Helicarrier more than Avengers Mansion for some reason. It's just been really effective, the lessening of the resource cost as opposed to the drawing of the card. It seems counterintuitive because I do feel like Avengers Mansion is definitely a better card, but for some reason, I've really been digging 2 copies of Helicarrier. I think it's because it discards for a physical resource, and that's where I've been finding the interesting interactions. There's 1 Sanctum Sanctorum. I got 2 Astral Projections, 2 Magic Blasts, 2 Master of the Mystic Arts, and 1 Mystical Studies, and 2 Protective Wards. That's all of the events that are specific to our hero suite here. And then I put in 3x Relentless Assault, 2 Skilled Strikes, 2 Uppercuts, and I'm still trying this Warning card out. It's more so to try to maintain tough status, because what I like to do with this deck is use the Vapors of Valtor to change my own effect, like whenever I am stunned or confused, to change that to tough. And then Warning can stave off a ping damage to potentially save my toughness status. And then just the resource cards. I kept Energy and Strength. I wanted to limit the amount of mental resources because I'm trying to kind of leverage Hulk pretty strongly in this deck. And then we finish it out with 2 Power of Aggression. So essentially, it's kind of a loose kit here, but essentially I'm trying to put allies on the board to help Stephen Strange aggressively defeat the villain and the minions. And if you can see here, the vast majority of the resource icons in here are physical, even though I know that what they're showing you on this Marvel CDB is incorrect. There are some in here that are the incorrect resource icon. So there's actually more. From what it shows me here for the icons, it's actually different in reality. They really need to update this Marvel CDB, in my opinion. And yeah, so basically leverage Hulk to try to get that AoE, try to smash, push through that extra damage. Mockingbird is in there. Her idea is to stun an enemy and then use Vapor of Valtor if you need to confuse them. Like to change it to confusion. And yeah, it's pretty straightforward. There's nothing. I'm just excited to play Stephen Strange. So,
well, there you have it. You've been sorted by the sorting hat. You now have a Doctor Strange deck for each aspect to go tinker with, try out, and play. So get your Doctor Strange pack out. Enjoy it while it lasts, because Hulk is coming up soon. That's enough of this magic nonsense. We need to get to something that's completely non-fictional and real. Like time travel. So, yesterday in the live stream, FFG announced the next scenario pack happening after the Red Skull box, and it is Kang the Conqueror. Let's discuss. I will give a quick overview of what we found out. So Kang is a villain that's a big Avengers and Fantastic Four villain. In some of the lore, he's a descendant of Reed Richards from like a different universe. It's kind of crazy. In the future, we'll go over Kang in detail. So I have a reading list for people that want to do that. This will probably be like end of September episode. But read Young Avengers 1 through 6, The Young Avengers Fight Kang. Avengers Forever 1 through 12 from 2011 was a really good Kang series. The title of the pack, The Once and Future Kang, is actually the title of an Avengers story. So it's Avengers Volume 1, issues 262 through 269. And then there were two Kang Wars. Kang Dynasty is sometimes called Kang War. And it's from Avengers Volume 3, 41 through 55. And Kang War 1 is Avengers Unleashed 1 through 6 from 2016. All amazing Kang stories where Kang comes from different points in time. So Kang is a time traveler. And this scenario appears to be very trippy within time. So the overall way the scenario is going to work is everybody's going to fight the same stage one villain. You'll fight Kang the Conqueror. Once you defeat him, and this is actually very thematic, I feel like it's kind of silly when you defeat Rhino, he comes back, but he's stronger, and now he's breaking into a building. When you defeat Kang, he recovers at the last second, and he zaps you all into different time streams. So as soon as you defeat the first stage of Kang, you're going to progress to the second stage, which is going to spit out a bunch of stage threes, one per player. And each stage three will spit out a different version of Kang from time. So you'll end up with, like, if in a four-player game, you'll end up with four separate play areas, and you have to defeat your own stage two. Once you do, at the beginning or at the end of that turn or end of round, you're able to jump into another person's time stream and help them out. If you manage to defeat all four or all number of players' stage two Kangs, you'll fight some ultimate stage three Kang together, combined as a group. So it's going to split you up and pull you back together. Looks super fun. What are your initial thoughts, Crimson? Are you excited?
I'm really excited. I like these more different, engaging villains like this. This is going to be real fun to play with a play group. I don't know how fun it's going to be solo. Now, I get it. There's that random aspect. So, you know, the first couple times it'll probably be fun. I just don't know if that's not really the gimmick of this villain. I think this is going to be a wonderfully fun villain in like three or four player.
I do think he comes with a couple new keywords, or at least keywords we haven't seen before. There's a keyword insight. When a treachery is revealed with the keyword insight, you place, if it's insight one, you place a threat on the main scheme. If it was insight two, you'd place two threat. So it's going to be a very threat-heavy scheme. It comes with three modular sets. So we're back to getting modular sets again, which is awesome. So the first one is the Temporal modular set. The card we saw from that set is a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Super exciting.
Yeah, that looks fun as hell.
It looks hilarious. The second set is the Anachronauts. I think I said that word right. We haven't seen anything other than the title of one of those cards. And then the third set is the Master of Time set. And it actually has Kang in it, but he has different subtitles. So, like, different versions of Kang can be used in the Kang scenario, which is pretty cool. What do you think, Tommy? Are you excited? You think it's going to be challenging, or do you think it's going to be Wrecking Crew?
I'm hopeful that it'll be challenging. I think that... So, one thing that is interesting about the Wrecking Crew, in my opinion, differs. Some people's, but I feel like it definitely gets harder the more players you have. Like in four player, those acceleration tokens stack up pretty quick, and I think it's way more difficult. But the problem with it is Wrecking Crew already takes a while. The more players you have, the longer the game takes naturally. So for the game to be harder, it also has. So I think that's where I start to not enjoy Wrecking Crew. But I'm hopeful that Kang is going to be similar in Wrecking Crew in the way that it kind of breaks the game a little bit, takes it apart, puts it back together again at the end. I kind of like that thought. I really like the theme there. I do think it's going to be one of those scenarios that is a little more time consuming because it's going to be played best three to four players. I agree with you guys. But I'm excited. I love Kang as a villain. I know that there's a high likelihood that he's going to show up in the Loki series because we've already seen the Time Variance Authority. It's only a matter of time. I think he's a fantastic villain. And I think there was to go into Kang lore, isn't there a story where he's like, I don't know if it's like the actual 616 universe or not, but I think he's supposed to be like a descendant of Reed Richards or something like that, that goes back in time. It might be like the Iron Lad origin. I can't remember.
I think you're right. I think it's the Iron Lad origin.
Yeah, that might be the one, because there's so many that run together, but I thought that was kind of cool how he has like Fantastic Four ties and Avengers ties.
It's really funny because Kang's story is very non-linear, right? It doesn't go in the order you read it in the comics, so it's hard to know where things fall within his story. One thing that's really cool is the core set for Marvel Champions, right? All the villains, I don't want to say they're cut and dry, but they're all like, punch the villain as hard as you can, defeat him, you win the game. And not that the expansion ones aren't like that, but all three scenario packs have been very different, right? We got Green Goblin that has this cool flipping mechanic where now the villain has an alter ego. We got Wrecking Crew where there's multiple villains. And now we have Kang where it's going to split the team up, like splitting the party. We know that's bad in games and like every instance. So you know it's going to be rough. But it's pretty cool to see them stretching the design of their game. It's really spreading and going all over.
Curious to see too, if they, in the Red Skull box, are they going to go back to more of a more linear approach, similar to like the core set, or if they're going to save like the really like game altering counters for
the scenario packs. Maybe. I hope we get a mix of them. I hope, you know, there's a couple villains that are not dry and boring, but they're pretty standard and they just have cool new abilities.
Yeah, like I want a hook. It doesn't have to be like this crazy like hook, like a time travel hook, but I'd like a hook for each of the encounters.
Yeah, something to make you play it not just in the campaign, but also to make you want to play it standalone.
I mean, playing the same six encounters past however many months, pretty much enough motivation for anybody to want to play them without them being in the campaign.
Yeah, that's going to be very important.
So what do you think, Lester? Lester? I think Kang may have abducted him through time, so we'll have to wait until October to fight and save him, I guess.
He got lost in the time stream.
Well, that's all we had for this episode of the MCM Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to connect with us, you can check us out at www.mcm-podcast.com, or you can check out with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. Special thanks to Tommy from the Side Scheme Podcast for informing us all about the value of green cards. We really appreciate you, sir. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in. Have a magical time with your new Doctor Strange cards.